All right, this is it. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 150. 150 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Welcome back, my friends. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing okay. Hasn't been a great week. I recorded, this is the second podcast I've recorded today. I recorded episode 149 where I discussed at length the fact that we had no heat in our house for 4 days in a row. And yeah, it was no good. It was a terrible experience. And it lasted over the weekend. It was cold. And it cost us a fortune to get it fixed. And all the details are in episode 149. It's for patrons only over at patreon.com/Jeff K. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Jeff K. If you want to hear it and a whole bunch of other episodes I do for patrons only, go over there today. Sign up for a patronage, a monthly donation. $4 a month, that's all. Put it on a credit card. You won't even notice it. Because it's $4. You won't even notice that it's gone. And it helps me out a great deal. And as a thank you, I give you an extra episode every week. So do that today. Patreon.com/Jeff K. All right. So I won't talk about the heat thing anymore, even though it's still weighing heavily on me. You know, one thing about that is you don't really notice the heat and you don't really notice the water or the electricity or any of the major utilities until it's not there anymore. Then you notice it real good. You know what I mean? You take one of those things out of the equation, it's like everything's in upheaval. So in the heat, you know, it's cold, man. You can't be. I mean, you know. So anyway, I got some random notes. I'm tired of talking about the heat. It's fixed. That's the bottom line. We got it fixed. We had to pay a lot of money. It's not a happy ending, but I guess the fact that we have heat is a happy ending. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. All right. So the last episode out on the main network, I was talking about how, I was telling the stories about how when my kids were born and the hospital experiences and all that, and the guy that in California who said he wanted me to cut the umbilical cord, and I said, nah, I'm good. And he goes, ah, don't be such a pussy. This is a doctor. This is a doctor that told me that, right? I forgot to mention. All right, so we have all these home videos of these experiences. And that whole thing out in California, when our second boy was born, you know, when the guy called me a pussy, you know, he challenged my manhood. You know what I'm saying? And bullied me into cutting that thing cutting a raw pork chop with a pair of scissors. Disgusting. All right. Anyway, there's home video of that whole day, you know. And I had this, you know, I find this to be mind blowing. I can't understand what the hell is going on, but on that day, apparently around that time, I was experimenting with like facial hair. And I don't know. I never did that ever. I've never done that. That's never been my kind of. You know, I don't dabble in the novelty facial hair, mustaches, beards, you know, goatees, any of that. No, that's not the Jeff K way, you know. But for some reason, I had this stupid ass thing on my face. It was like a beard. It was like a half a goatee, just the bottom half. Like there was no mustache, but there was like the goatee on the bottom, you know, underneath the mouth. I look like an idiot. Every time I see that, I'm like, why in the world? And I asked Tony, I said, why did you allow me to go out of the house? I look like an idiot. I look like a full, just like a, just like a blue ribbon douche, you know? And I'm sitting there, you know, on this home video, and it goes, you know, just like all home videos, it goes on and on, way too long. Nobody needs this level of detail, you know? Nobody, even us, you know, even while we're watching them, like, this, you know, it's lingering a little bit too long. But so it's really long, and I've got this stupid-ass beard, half-assed, like, half a goatee, just the bottom half, just the southern half of a goatee. Look like an idiot. I mean, what in the... I've never did stuff like that. Why? What was I doing? And why did nobody tell me and say, listen, I mean, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but that whatever you call that thing, that half-assed beard thing that you got going on, I mean, that looks, I mean, you look like a fool. You know, you need to take care of that, right? No, that's bad. That's a bad idea. I mean, that's Tony's job. I mean, that's the wife's job to say, all right, no, you're not, I mean, no. You can't go out of the house with that stupid thing. You look like an idiot, you know? So, anyway, I don't know. I find that to be disheartening. Why do I, you know, I have bad... Why would I even dabble in something like that? You know? Never. I don't do that. Anyway. Forgot to mention that in the last episode. Have you ever dabbled in facial hair? Like, novelty facial hair? I don't like that at all. I'm clean shaven. I don't like mustaches. I mean, seriously, mustache? You know, and everybody has these beards now all the time. Eh, not for me. You, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it, you know? But that's not for me. But back in those days, man, I had this big douche thing going. I mean, I was a fully realized douche. I mean, it goes without saying, but I mean, you shouldn't advertise it. Anyway, I thought I was going to mention that in the last one. I forgot. We were talking at work the other day, and we were talking about how our parents used to punish us. God, I can't even think straight. How our parents used to punish us, and you know, there's the usual stuff with the, you know. One guy's like, I don't know, my mom, you know, she hit me with anything that was lying around, you know, that kind of stuff. This, you know, the story, the belts, you know, the story of the belt coming off and all that stuff. And somebody said, does they ever throw rice down on the floor and make you kneel on it? I'm like, what the? What is that? I've never heard of that before in my life. Is this something that actually happens? They throw rice on the kitchen floor and make you kneel on it on your knees? Like, I have never. Have you ever heard of this? Well, neither had anybody else, except for the person that said it, you know? I don't know. I've never heard of that before. My dad used to spank me. It was rare, because my dad's super laid back. He's like me. Generally, I'm laid back, but I get wound up, you know? But he's more laid back than I am even, and but every once in a while, like one time we egged this person's house, we threw eggs, you know, all over this person's house, cause she was a pain in the ass, you know, like she was one of these neighborhood women people, you know, not women, just people, who, you know, if your wiffle ball lands on their lawn. You know, they're out there yelling at you, like, get off my grass, you know, just bitching about everything you do. Just hates kids. Don't want kids to even be alive, you know. Or if they are alive, they're, you know, across town, far away. They don't even want to know about kids, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, we're a little pains in the asses. I don't have any doubt about that. But this woman was shitty. She had signs posted on her trees, you know. You know, do not stand on my, don't get on my grass. If a ball lands on my yard, it belongs to me and all this, you know, all this stuff. She was a crazy old lady. So we egged her house one day. I got caught somehow. I don't remember how, you know. I somehow got caught. I don't remember the details. But he was pissed, you know, my dad. So I mean, this rarely happened. I mean, he was mad at me. You know, I mean, the thing about that is, okay, here's the dynamic, right? The dynamic is my mom was the enforcer, you know? So she was, you knew you were going to get blasted by her, right? I mean, if you did something, and I did a lot, okay? I mean, I was I brought a lot to the table, you know? I mean, she had the principal at my various schools had my mom's work number on speed dial, you know? I mean, I was always into something, but, so she was the enforcer, and you knew that when you got caught doing something, that she was going to be the one that gives you a bunch of shit about it, right? My dad, on the other hand, more laid back, very laid back, and he just rolls with it, you know? However, when he'd get mad at us, it hurt more. It, like, had more of a punch, you know? It's like you expect my mom to be mad at us, or me, you know? And that's just the normal course of living your life, right? But when my dad crossed over into that territory, it made me feel worse. You know what I mean? Because it was rare, or it was more rare. And so he pulled his belt off that day when I egged that woman's house and spanked me with it, you know, which I can't remember. I think that might have happened like twice. I don't know. That's the only one I could remember specifically, you know, because I, you know, and so it's not like he was doing that. They were certainly not abusive in any way. But he was pissed that day, whipped his belt off and spanked my ass with it, you know. And he had to go down there and scrub. He was up on a ladder scrubbing that, you know, off the side of her house and apologizing. The woman's out there yelling and stuff. I don't remember any other. It wasn't me. It wasn't just me. There were other kids involved. Of course, I wouldn't give up any names. But somehow, I don't know how. I can't even remember how I gotten caught up in it. You know, how did the other kids get away with it? And I didn't. I don't remember, but that was the only time he ever, well, I don't know if it was the only time, but it was a rare occurrence. But this woman at work said that her mother would throw rice on the floor and make her kneel on it. Never heard of that before in my life. That's thinking outside the box right there. Have you ever heard of this? That's wild. What else? Johnny Bench, my childhood hero, my baseball hero of all time, my favorite baseball player, a guy who, when I was in my, I don't know, well, especially when I was in my teens, but even now, he was like, you know, he was my hero. He was the guy that I idolized, you know, and my favorite baseball player by far. He played for the Reds, of course, during those big red machine years. And he was a greatest catcher of all time, you know, all that stuff, you know. So he's like 72 now. He's long retired, obviously. He's not still catching. But so he's long retired. And I told you about a while back. It was a long time ago. There's this documentary about him. It's called, all right, you ready for this title? Bench. All right. I'm sure they had a lot of like conference calls about that title, and that's what they came up with, Bench. All right. So anyway, so Johnny Bench, he's like 72, and he has these two young kids. I don't know when they made the movie. They were like 11 and 9 or something. These two boys. He was married to some woman, and she just like flew the coop. She goes, "I'm out." And just, like, walked away from the family or something. I mean, she wasn't in the picture at all, you know. She left, and Johnny's in his 70s. He's got these two young boys, and they live down in Florida, and she's gone. She went back to California or something like that. So he's raising these kids. So this movie, they made this documentary called Bench, and it showed him in there, you know, he's just, he's like the Hall of Famer. He's like one of the greatest baseball players. He's like a legend. And he's in there, like, you know, cooking eggs and, you know, help, you know, like, did you do that quiz? You're supposed to, you know, he's in there, you know, taking care of these kids, taking them to a soccer practice, folding their laundry, you know, just being Mr. Mom. That's fine. I have no issue with that. Well, I kind of do, actually. I don't know. The whole thing's disorienting to me. You know, the guy's in his 70s. He's a baseball legend. And he's in there, you know, he's you know, folding these kids' clothes and, you know, carrying laundry baskets up from the, you know, from the basement or whatever. Anyway, so the whole thing's bizarre to me. I don't know what the story is with this woman. How can you, who am I to judge? You know, whatever. How could you walk away from your family like that? Whatever. None of my business. So Johnny Bench is in this situation. He's down there in Florida. He's raising these two young kids. And from all, you know, all intents and purposes, or from what I can tell, doing a great job with it, you know. I mean, there's nothing negative about it. The guy's doing what he needs to do. It's like, what in the world? You know, how could this, who could have forced, you know, who could have looked into the future and saw this, you know? So anyway, that movie, when I was watching that thing, I was like, what the, you know? This is, I don't know, very strange. The whole thing bugs me a little bit. I don't know why. Probably should go see a psychiatrist and try to, you know. But the thing about that is, he said in this thing over and over again, and he also said about this article that I read, which I'll talk to you about in a minute, is that nobody knows who he is. Like, the kids, like his kids' friends, they don't know who he is. They don't know Johnny Bench, you know? They don't know who that is. He's just like their dad. So he has nobody. And even the kids' parents, like the parents of other kids that are in school with Johnny's kids, they don't know who he is. Like, nobody knows who he is. The guy retired in 83, I think, something like that. And all these parents of these other kids are too young to even know who he is. So he's just like this dad, and he's Johnny Bench. Like, what the? The whole thing, I don't know. I probably should go see. I think at work they allow you to have six counseling sessions with a psychiatrist for free or whatever. I think maybe I should look about just about this whole Johnny Bench thing. Maybe I should look into that. Anyway, it bugs me. I don't know. I don't know why. The whole thing. Anyway, so the other day I read this article where Johnny Bench, you know, who is, you know, he's the subject of this movie called Bench. No, enough of that. But he is selling off, the article said he's selling off all his stuff, all his memorabilia, all the stuff that he, like he had two Most Valuable Player awards, he had a shitload of Golden Glove awards, Gold Glove awards, he has two World Series rings, you know, he has all this memorabilia that he amassed in this amazing career. First time ballot Hall of Famer, you know. I mean, the guy's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's a legend. The greatest, you know. There's not too many people that argue that he's the greatest catcher of all time. Just an absolute baseball legend. So he amassed all this stuff. He's selling it off at an auction because he needs some, or, you know, I don't know. He doesn't say he needs the money. He says he wants to make his kids' lives, you know, basically he's liquidating all that stuff so that his kids have something to inherit, so his kids have something to, you know, he wants to use it for their college education and stuff. It's like he says, you know, the players of today make more in a month than I made in my entire career, you know. So basically, he's doing it for the money, selling off his Most Valuable Player, his World Series rings, all this stuff. He sold off like the first contract he signed when he was drafted by the Reds. He was so young that his parents had to sign below, you know. All this stuff, It's like, what in the hell is going on now? What is this late life? He's like his whole life is in upheaval, but he seems happy about it. I mean, he's not complaining about it. Apparently, he's doing a really good job. He's doing what he has to do. He's a good guy, from what I can tell. I don't know him. I don't know. The whole thing bugs me. I don't know why. I probably should check into those six counseling sessions for free. You know, just maybe try to get to the bottom of what's going on. I don't know. I don't like it. You know, I don't like that he's having to sell off his stuff, and I don't like it. Bugs me for some reason. He's like taking these kids around. I don't know. It'd be different if he was married. I don't know. It's hard for me. I haven't really thought about it intellectually, as intellectual as it ever gets with me. It's mostly I'm just running on emotion now. I don't know why. And prejudices, probably. You know, it's probably not good. But anyway, so that whole thing happened. So then there's a follow-up article, and the auction already happened. So they auctioned off all his stuff. He got $2 million. $2 million for all that stuff, you know? I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of money, obviously. I'd love to have $2 million. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, he does that Blue Emu commercial. And you won't stink. You know that commercial? You familiar with that? Well, some kind of cream you put on. I don't know. Something for pain. Blue Emu. He does the commercials anyway. So anyway, that all happened. It's another blow to my childhood, you know. It's just like being torpedoed over and over and over again. The other night, I got up in the middle of the night. Well, it wasn't the middle of the night. It was 12:30. So I fell asleep on the couch. And this is before our furnace went out. So this was like in the middle of last week. I was asleep on the couch, right? And Tony, I've mentioned, Tony can't sleep. She moves from room to room. She's a light sleeper. I mean, I don't know. She can, you know, if somebody farts in a kitchen down the block, she'll hear it and sit straight up and go, "What was that?" You know. So she's always moving around. So she came down there, and I was asleep on the couch in the living room. And she was like, shakes me awake, and she goes, "Why don't you just go to bed?" So I get up. Right, I'm asleep. I'm dead asleep. I get up, and I when I put my weight on my left leg, it, for some reason, it just turned into a noodle. You know, my leg just went and just turned to, like it wouldn't support my heft, and I collapsed. Like I collapsed in the living room. I mean, I went down like a sack of dirt. You know, I mean, it was, she was like, "Oh my God." I guess she thought I was having a heart attack or a stroke or something. Oh my, you know, I just like collapsed. That shit's never happened before. Am I getting to the age where I just like fall down all the time? Like old people just, seems like they just fall down for no apparent reason. So I get up off the couch. I'm out of a dead sleep. I stand up. My leg turns into a frickin' spaghetti noodle, and I just collapse in the living room, you know? And, you know, she's like, "What in the hell is going on?" You know, so I get up. I'm like, "I don't know what the hell." You know, I'm half asleep, you know? So I just go upstairs and go to bed. And then I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, "Did I fall down in the living room?" It feels like there's a vague memory of me falling down in the living room. Then I get up and my knee hurts, you know, or I hit the floor, you know. It's like a rug burn, you know, on my knee. I still have it. And I talked to Tony and she was like, "What the shit?" I said, "I don't know." Then, but everybody, like even my kids are like, "What happened? What happened?" I said, when I put my weight on my leg, it just wouldn't hold me. It wouldn't hold the heft. It wasn't, you know. And they're like, "Did you get dizzy?" I said, "Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I'm telling you what happened." But they just wouldn't let go. They thought I'd passed out or something. You know what I mean? And they couldn't. They were fixated on that, and they couldn't let go of it. I said, it has nothing to do with my head. It has everything to do with my leg, my left leg, you know? So stop talking about like I collapsed, like I passed out or something. It was weird. It was a very weird thing. I don't know if my leg was asleep. I don't know. I was asleep for sure, but I don't know what was going on. That shit's never happened before, and it was disturbing. I don't know what the hell's going on, but it wasn't my... I didn't get dizzy or anything like that. It's just when I shifted my weight from one leg to the other, it wouldn't hold me for some reason. It just like it said, "All right, nope," you know, like nope, not gonna hold this up anymore, you know. And I went down hard. Who the hell knows, man? I'll start falling down like some old man. Like I was just like for no reason whatsoever. I'm just like walking across the floor and just fall down, you know. I don't know. Like explode my pelvis. Another thing that I did to myself, I destroyed my shoulder. All right, so I went over to Sunny Chinese the other day. This is my favorite Chinese takeout, right? The ones that was closed for months. It's another place you can't walk into. I mean, you have to go through the drive-through. If you walk in there, mister, you're no better than John Wayne Gacy, you know? So you have to drive through the window. In this place, I love it. I love their food, and I like the people that run it. And, you know, I got nothing bad. But one thing they do that irritates me is they give you the paper to sign it, the receipt. Nobody else does that. No other restaurant. You go up, you give them your card, and they hand it back to you with a receipt wrapped around it. That's the way. This is the contract we have. You know, as humans, you hand them the card, they hand it back to you with the receipt wrapped around it. That's the way it's supposed to work. Not here, not at Sunny, no. They give you a stack of papers, you know. It's like your receipt, their receipt, you know, an extra receipt in case one of them gets lost, one for the scrapbook, you know. And then you got to sign it, and then you're under pressure to give them a tip. I don't like the tip. I don't tip at the drive-thru, generally, and I don't tip at the counter. These are my rules. I tip at the table, and I tip at the front door. I don't tip at the counter, and I don't tip at the drive-thru. But you know, the woman's standing there looking at you, and you're like, ah, you know, you're under pressure. So I wrote in the $2. I wrote it in $2 tip, even though I didn't want to. And so then I dropped the pen, right? I hand her back the stack of papers and shit, and she was like, some of these are yours. I'm like, I don't need it. But the pen, I dropped it on the floor of the car. The thing rolls up underneath the seat, you know. She goes, I need my pen back. I'm like, hang on a second. I have to detach my seat belt, and I have to contort myself. I'm like, contort myself into a, you know, to try to reach this pen. The thing's like up underneath my seat that I'm sitting in, and I feel like something pop in my shoulder, like, and it hurt like a son of a bitch. Then I grabbed the thing and I handed it to her. I'm like, God, you know. And she was like, have a good day. You know, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it in imitation. But so you know, and I drive away. The thing hurts for like 2 days. You know, I explode my shoulder, trying, and I go home and I go, I hurt myself. She goes, what in the hell? I said, she goes, you're collapsing in the living room, and now you're like, you know, injuring yourself trying to get Chinese takeout. What is going on with you? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I can't explain it, but the thing's up underneath the chair of my or the seat of my car, and something popped, and I don't know. She's like, and you're collapsing. I said, all right. I don't know. I can't explain any of it, but God. All right, what else I have here? I don't have anything else. Have you ever heard of that rice on the floor? You know, I don't know. I never heard of that before, but it sounds bizarre. I do, before I go, I do have one more call off the hotline. another call from Ian in Scotland. And he has a question for me. And take it away, Ian.
Hey, Jeff. It's Ian in Scotland again. Traveling north from Edinburgh via Perth to Dundee. Beautiful Sunday afternoon. Two things for you, Jeff. First one, question. I was asked this in the work on Friday. Colleague said, if you had to make a choice somehow and you had to lose one sense, which sense would it be? And I automatically went with the sense of smell, because although like some smells smell really good, like baked bread, most smells smell like shit. I mean, you, more often or not, you say, instead of, hmm, what's that beautiful smell, you say, what the fuck is that? Horrible smell. So if, like me, she says the smell, being resident or not. Number two, found out from my sister who stays in the States that you can download as an app BBC Sounds and go to Radio 6. Check it out. It's a great station. I highly recommend Guy Garvey's Finest Hour. Put me on a lot of good music. Okay, keep up the work, mate. Thanks. Bye.
All right, that last part, I don't know. You might have to email me that, because I couldn't understand. I'm sorry. I apologize. But you said it's a BBC, it's on Pandora, a radio show that I should check out. I'd like to check it out. Let me know. Send me an email or something, or a text or something. What else? Oh, the one sense. I think, you know, if you had to lose one sense, what would it be? That's a good question. And the only way that I remember what the senses are is because of that XTC song, Senses Working Overtime. See, hear, smell, touch, taste. The only reason I know I can come up with all the senses is because the lyrics of that song, Senses Working Overtime. See, hear, smell, touch, taste. All right, see. No, I don't want to lose that. That's no good. Hear. No, I'm into music. I can't have that. See, hear, smell. Okay, that's a possibility. That's Ian's choice, and he's right. You know, mostly it's like he's right. That was funny. More often than not, you're not saying, "Ooh, that smells really good." You're saying, "What the shit? What the hell is that?" He's right about that. So see, hear, smell. All right, smell is the first possibility. Touch? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. That might be. I might have to go with touch. I don't know. And taste? No. No way. You know, I'm a fat man. You know, I'm a big, you know, eating is, you know, a big part of my life. And how could I taste the IPAs, the hops? And no way. So taste is completely out. Here is completely out. See is completely out. So the only ones that are left are smell. And I don't know. I think that affects your taste, doesn't it? And I don't know about this feel business. It's like you wouldn't be able to, like if you touch something, you wouldn't be able to tell if it's hot or something. I don't know. That's a good question, Ian. I'm going to have to go with feel. See, hear, smell, touch, taste. Touch. No, touch. That's what it is. All right. I butchered this thing. It was a great call. Thank you for calling in. I'm sorry I butchered the answer, but I'm going to go with touch. If anybody else has any opinions on that, please let me know. We need more feedback on this. I don't disagree with your choice, Ian. That's a good one. But I'm going to go with touch. All right? All right, we're at the end of this thing. If you want two of these a week, and you should. My God, the last one I recorded was about the... I had no heat, and I went on and on and on. Man, I was bitching in that one. I was complaining. It was a bitter episode. If you want to hear that one, and if you want to hear... did I already go through this? Feels like I did. Anyways, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up today. Also, if you want to be a part of the show like Ian, give me a call. 570-290-8151 is the number. That's 570-290-8151. 24 hours a day. It's a voicemail system. Call me whenever you want, from wherever you want. Give me a call. Be a part of the show. And if you want to send me an email, send it to surfreportpod@gmail.com. I don't think I've opened that account lately. I need to be better about that. If I got notifications on my phone, I'd read every one of them. But I don't, for some reason. I got it set up wrong. I don't get notifications. And so I don't look at it. So that's me. That's on me. I'm an idiot. You know, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Whew. All right, we're at the end. Hope you guys are having a great, great day. I think I got a sore throat. I'm starting to get a sore throat from this frickin', from laying in bed, breathing like frosty air for 4 days in a row. It's starting to come home to roost. All right, we're at the end of this thing. I'll see you guys soon. Have a good one. Bye.
Is that?